This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Order this morning. I greet everyone listening in on the internet. Welcome everyone that's in the room here. Remind everyone to please turn your phone off or at least put it on wiggle. At this time, we'll have the secretary call a roll call.
Senator Feagin.
Here.
Hager.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Heinert, excused. Sutton.
Here.
Holian.
Here.
Hewing.
Here.
Six has a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of our last meeting.
So moved.
Second. Okay, I'll just take a guess on that one. Motion made by Senator Holian, seconded by Senator Olson to approval of the minutes of the last meeting. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Would remind all the testifiers to please make sure you're signed in. And if you have any handouts, please distribute them through our pages and they'll get them to the committee. Please address all your questions through the chair. And at this time, I guess I would like to have the, I guess I'm on the air now, have the pages come forth and please introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background of what you're doing and where you're headed.
I'm Catherine Bogue. I'm from Faith. I'm planning on going to SDSU for mechanical engineering.
Thank you.
I'm Melissa Wallman, and I'm from Hartford, and I plan on going to Dakota Wesleyan for nursing.
Okay, thank you, girls. At this time, we'll get started. Our first bill for consideration this morning is House Bill 1005, and at this time, we will take proponent testimony. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Representative Mary Duvall from District 24, and this bill comes to you from the Interim Study Committee on County Government Needs and Financing. This bill came out of committee with unanimous support, and I just want to quickly walk through it. As I understand, you have all received a chart which kind of outlines the bill. Counties really are dependent on property taxes for most of their funding. That's the lion's share of their funding comes from property taxes. Another really significant part comes from the fees they charge for specific services, such as issuing license plates and doing some sheriff service fees, things like that. So this bill looked at those fees and you know whether they were appropriate. And so if you look at the chart, you'll see there are kind of three main areas encompassed in the bill. The first three sections of the bill suggest repealing some statutes that date back to the 1800s. They are obsolete, and so the recommendation is let's simply get them off the books and clean up the code. The second set of the bill deals with fees that county treasurers perform for specific purposes that are not necessarily related to property ownership. And in coming up with the recommendations in the bill, we worked with county treasurers from across the state to say, what do you think is reasonable, and what would you, as a frontline person standing at the courthouse counter, be willing to tell someone your fee for this particular certificate is X amount? That's how we came up with those fees. If you will look, a lot of those fees are 25 years old or more, so this is kind of updating those fees. The third major part of the bill deals with the fees that sheriffs can charge for doing civil process. And these recommendations were developed in consultation with sheriffs from across the state. Right now, because it's a fee-for-service, the amount generated really varies among counties. But on average, right now, the current fees generate less than half the cost of doing the actual service. They cover less than half the cost. In Minnehaha County, it's about 30% of the cost. In Pennington County, it's about 25%. Here in Hughes County, where I live, it's about 45% of the cost. So we are recommending increasing those fees to help cover the cost, to relieve the burden that we have right now on property taxes. And so that is why we are bringing 1005. We would ask your favorable consideration to raise these service fees to help take the pressure off property taxes. And with that, I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on 1005. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Senator Jim Peterson, District 4. I, too, had the privilege of serving on that county government summer study, and it was really quite extensive, and we learned a lot of things. And I don't want to be repetitive, but I want to leave one thought with you. When a fee does not cover the cost, it reverts back to the property taxes. Your property taxes then are picking up the cost of that fee. So there are plenty more that are going to testify today, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1005. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Telling, he is a registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials, which includes the registers of deeds, auditors, and treasurers. I'm also registered on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. We rise in support of this bill, obviously. We'd like to thank Representative Duvall and Senator Peterson for bringing the bill. It was the product of a very comprehensive study that was done this summer, as has been alluded to. And I don't think we can overemphasize the point that what we're asking the legislature to approve is an increase in fees that are occasioned by people that use the system. And those really should be the people that are helping pay for those costs, as opposed to putting that cost back on the backs of all the other property taxpayers within a county. The fees, some of them haven't been updated for quite some time. And you may ask yourself, well, why are we doubling the fees in some cases? If you look at the chart that's been provided to you, I think you'll recognize rather quickly that some of the fees that have been collected thus far under our current law are simply pass-through fees. The county retains nothing from those fees. For instance, in Section 4, the application for a certificate of motor vehicle title, the $5 that the law currently requires be collected at the county level when the person comes in to make the application, that's all passed back through to the state motor vehicle fund. So the increase that we're asking for would be a $5 increase that would stay at the county level that would help offset that cost that the county incurs in having the personnel and the equipment and the machinery and takes the time to complete that application process. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll step aside. I know there are others that intend to speak, but I would certainly hope and encourage the committee to vote favorably on 1005. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Ewing, committee members, Stacy Ackerman, Executive Director for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. I would like to echo Mr. Tellenhusen's comments. It was a great privilege and honor to be a part of the legislative summer study looking at county government, and I want to thank Senator Ewing, Senator Hagar, and Representative Duvall and Peterson as well. I've spent my entire adult life working in county government or with county government. My father before me did the same. And the committee challenged us to look at what we were doing. Do we have to do those things? What things were statutorily and constitutionally required of us? And then we went back. When it came to the fees, they challenged us to look at how we were doing things. We studied what our neighboring states charge for those same services. And then they sent us back and said, well, what does it cost you to do this? We came back, so we looked at our fees from two different angles. What do surrounding states, comparable states to us, charge for these similar services? And then what is the cost of doing these? So we looked at it and came together with a proposal that is kind of a mixture of those two things. And then we looked at who are the people that pay these fees. and a majority of your property currently right now, most of, because as Representative Duvall had stated, we don't recoup a majority of those costs for service. We're ranging anywhere from 30 to 45% of the cost to do the business. And we looked at who we provide these services to, and it's a very small percentage of our property taxpayers that utilize the civil process portion of what we do. A majority of that, 70 to 80%, when we looked at the numbers, come from out-of-state companies. And so we're just asking for a little bit of an increase here to help cover some of those associated costs so it isn't solely on the backs of the property taxpayers. Would make myself available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1005. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Barry Hillestad. I'm the Day County Sheriff from Webster, South Dakota. I'm also president of the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. South Dakota Sheriff's Association, and again, I want to stay brief, but we fully support this bill. I look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. As sheriff of Day County, and my fellow sheriffs will agree with me, we run that sheriff's office. We are fiscally responsible to our shareholders, the residents of our county who pay taxes. We can't operate losing money, and we're losing money now on serving fees, and that's fiscally irresponsible. We're asking to raise our fees so that we can recover our costs of doing business. That's just one more way to look at this whole scenario, in my opinion. We ask for your support. We hope that this bill passes through committee, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning, sir.
Chairman Ewing, members of the committee, my name is Tom Twite. I'm a Hughes County Commissioner. I have been on the commission now for 5 years. And to say that county funding is complicated is a simplistic approach. I thought, coming out of the commission, that we collected property taxes and we paid for our needs for the county. As I sit through budget after budget and find that it's much more complicated, that fees and other things that we do make up a large part of our budget that we then pass through to other people. Looking at our appropriations for this coming year, 22% of the property taxes that we collect in Hughes County stay in the county. That means that 78% of what we collect at our front step goes to other entities in the state. That's collected within the treasurer's office. That's audited by the auditor, and many times is collected by the register of deeds. All three of those offices are covered kind of in this bill. We would like to have fees that cover what our people do, and even after these fee increases, if you allow that to go on forward, we will probably only collect a little over a third of the cost of running those three offices through fees. In Hughes County, we have three school districts that operate within the boundaries of Hughes County. So we collect, appropriate, and follow up on taxes for all three of those school districts. Right now, we've changed auditors and we've changed our equalization director recently, and we're trying to get caught up with delinquent taxes. That's taking a significant amount of time, and those delinquencies are not just ours. They belong to all of the other entities that we collect taxes for and get no fees in return for. I heard the State Revenue Department testify at another bill here recently that they need to keep this the way it is so that the state can recover the costs that they have to calculate and reimburse the counties for what we get. How about a little reciprocity when you look at that? So in the end, I think this bill is a good start, but as was testified here earlier, this hasn't been updated for 25 years. How many how many increases in costs have we had? How many times have we had to raise the cost of doing business in Hughes County in 25 years? And we're only getting back to a portion of what it costs us to do this. So, you know, this idea of raising fees came up at a Cracker Barrel about a year ago, and all three of the representatives in Hughes County were there, and I asked the question, why don't we do something with fees? Why don't we charge those folks who are using their services? And I'm sure it was Representative Duvall who said, that's a no-brainer. And, you know, one of the other things that hasn't been brought up here, we've talked about the sheriff's fees and all the out-of-state interests that use that, but we and many, many other counties in the state of South Dakota register vehicles for transient owners who don't have a home. They use South Dakota as a place to register their vehicles because we're so cheap. I know in Pennington County, one of the concerns that those officials in Pennington County had going into their wheel tax vote was that they have a significant number of out-of-state vehicles registered there who are also registered to vote in Pennington County who may or may not have influenced that election. Well, if they can use our services and if they can influence our elections, by golly, they ought to be able to pay the fees. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, 1005. Further proponent testimony. Seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony? House Bill 1005. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman. I represent the South Dakota Collectors Association. I want to emphasize that the collectors do not pay the fees. Small business pays the fees. And when they're coming to us to collect bad debt, they've already lost quite a bit of money. The idea that fees should fund, I mean, the civil service of the sheriff's department should not be funded by fees, totally. I mean, they deal in the business other than fees, protecting the people. That should be paid by the county. It should be paid by the county tax base. But I'm concerned about Section 11. Section 11, you heard that fees haven't gone up 25 years. We actually met in 2007 and made a deal on the fees in Section 11. It was an agreement. They came with a 275% increase request, and we negotiated the fees that you see today in 2007. Now, the fees are asking for now an increase of 100% up to 171% in the case of $35 to $95. They talk about cost of service. They served, the number of service that took place was just over 51,000. And $1,119,000 of fees were paid to the counties. I'm not sure how you can say what cost of delivering a fee or delivering a service is in terms of the 30% I hear, the 50% and so on. I can tell you that of the 51,000, the average mileage against those services was 3. How much cost is there? How do you determine the cost? Are we paying salaries because of civil service that the county should provide? We have no problem with the fact that we're paying fees. We are not paying fees. The small business owners are paying the fees. And if there needs to be an increase, we can talk. We were never asked to participate in anything on fees, and yet small business pays them. That's a tax. It's a tax on small business. And we think that this is onerous at 100% and 171%. The fact that we have 51,000 servings, the fact is only 31% result in anything. 69% come back unsatisfied, and yet the fees are still paid on that 69%, which it should be. We're not complaining about that. But, you know, we do think the fees are higher than they should be. If we would, I mean, we'll talk if we could get to the table. We would appreciate, especially in section, well, we don't care about any section other than 11. That's the section we work with for the small business owners. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further opponent testimony? Seeing none, we will let the prime sponsor have a short rebuttal here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Mary Duvall from District 24 again. I would just like to comment that the question here is, what percent of that service really belongs to all the property taxpayers who may not use that service? Even with the potential fee increases proposed here, sheriffs are still recovering an estimated less than 2/3% of the cost. Recognizing that, yes, as property owners, we do all benefit from the services provided by the Sheriff's Department, but these civil process fees are above and beyond just the regular property protection and public safety. The other thing I understand is that the majority of these civil process fees are actually paid for by out-of-state companies. And so the question is, why should they be burdening South Dakota property taxpayers? So, again, I would ask for your support of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will close the public testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for discussion or questions. Senator Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a question maybe for Representative Duvall. I'm sorry if I missed this. How much revenue is this supposed to generate?
There is a fiscal note that came from LRC staff based on their best recommendations. And the dollar figure is, from their estimates, is somewhere, I believe, in the $4 or $5 million mark. The thing to remember is that these are user-driven. Some counties get a lot. Minnehaha County would generate an estimated $500,000. Some counties get very little. For example, Jones counties would get less than $4,000.
Okay. Follow up on that? Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor or for anyone else who wants to take it. Since we had opponent testimony on Section 11, what would you say about striking that? And they would just strike that section of the bill. You can talk, come back next year. I have a hard time thinking that the world is going to end during that time.
Mr. Chair, this proposal has been out since last summer. And so to disrupt and basically gut the sheriff's fees portion of the bill, I think would be a very unfriendly amendment. We have been working since our committee met all summer long, so we've had time for discussion.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hager.
Just to follow up on Senator Helene's question, do you know Section 11 of the expected revenue generation? How much of that is in Section 11?
Of the total bill? I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that. But I would, if I might.
Go ahead.
Even with these proposed increases, it's still less than 2/3% of the cost of providing the service.
Okay. Further discussion, questions? I guess at this time I'll offer my 2 cents on it. I also had the privilege of sitting on the interim summer study, and as all the testifiers have said, we did have a great deal of testimony. We met many times, and the problem was very evident all the way across of where the shortfall on income to provide these services was at. And I, too, think it would be a detriment to everything that's been done and the time frame of what this bill has been out there to remove or gut the bill, so to speak. At this time, I will offer it to the committee for action. Senator Olson.
I move we pass this bill out of here. I really like it.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion from Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Sutton. Do pass motion for House Bill 1005. Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Holine.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a substitute motion.
Okay.
I'm going to take a stab. I know I'm in the minority here, but I feel that someone has to speak for the opposition. I'll make a substitute motion to amend the bill by striking Section 11.
Second.
Okay. We have a substitute motion to amend Section 11 on House Bill 1005 made by Senator Holine, seconded by Senator Hager. I think we'll go ahead and discussion on the substitute motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I definitely, I apologize. I don't want to step on your toes. I really do applaud what the County Commission did over the summer. I've seen lots of good bills, but this is the first one where I've seen opposition. And I don't think it's unfair opposition either, because when you look at some of the fees on some of them going up from here to here, it seems like the fees in this section are raising at a higher rate, or, you know, perhaps just that the fees are higher. And just the fact that there's opposition and that they say they were, at least in the opposition testimony, he said he wasn't even at the table. Now, whether or not that's true, I guess I would, with the chair's permission, I would open it up. If that was not true, if they were invited, if they were at the table, I would like to hear it. But if they were not, I think that that's a very serious concern, because all the summer studies I've been on, you either do your work or you don't, and it becomes very evident. And when there's opposition, you either have to have that completely placated or they had to have been invited. So,
okay, are you posing a question, Senator Holine?
I think it's more for the leniency of the chair. I think it's up to your discretion if that's a question or not.
If you want to pose that question, I'm sure there's certainly someone in the audience here that will answer your question.
I guess I would ask a question to both sides. Was the opposition at the table?
Okay, we'll allow the... go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Holine. These committee agendas were posted far in advance. The committee meetings were broadcast over the Internet. It's not up to us to call every single South Dakotan to say, this is what's going on. I think there is a certain level of personal responsibility. And anybody was certainly welcome to come and visit with us. So there was absolutely no intent to shut anyone out. We have tried to be very open and above board, palms up, with everything we're doing here.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Krugman will allow you to respond.
You know, when you have a civil process and 80% of that business is done by an industry, I would think you would reach out, and we were not. And granted, they are publicized meetings and so on, but I don't know that business collecting bad debt was represented at all, and that's who pays the civil fees. To answer your question, Senator Hager, $1,119,000 of the $5 million collected is civil fees.
Okay, thank you. I will. We are closing the testimony from the floor now, and I will offer my 2 cents on this from sitting on the committee. I think it was very, very open to anyone across the state to come in and testify. We had many meetings on this, and it was very well publicized, and I think we were very fair in allowing the opportunity for everyone in the state to come forward with their testimony on it. So at this time, we will Pardon me?
Any more discussion?
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for this, but I want to make it clear. The process is open until the governor signs the bill. The process is open until the until all testimony, until everyone has a chance to speak. So while I applaud, you can say that your minutes were posted over the summer. Someone could have noticed it. Someone could have come. Great. That's great. But the minutes for this meeting were also posted. Someone could have come to voice their opposition, and they did. So I don't think simply because it's a month later, or even if something came up 2 days from now before it came on the Senate floor, something, a very big point came up, I don't think that you discount it just because you say, oh, you had your chance back in July. So I applaud it, but it's like just because you wait until your chance to still speak on public doesn't mean that that testimony should be discounted. So I would urge the committee to approve the amendment, and I will ask for a roll call vote.
Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand the intent of this and the frustration of some members on this committee, but even so, the answer is not to gut the bill. The answer would be to see if both sides could find some compromise, not remove a whole section of the bill that is a very large portion of this discussion. And I would urge you to resist this motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to call a roll call vote on the substitute motion made by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Hager on House Bill 1005, substitute motion being to strike Section 11 out of the bill. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Feagin.
Aye.
Senator Hager.
Aye.
Senator Olson.
No.
Senator Heinert. Excused. Sutton.
No.
Holeen.
Aye.
No. Tied? Okay, we have a tie vote, so it dies for a lack of having the majority to do it. We will go back to the original motion of due pass on House Bill 1005. Any further discussion on the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't necessarily in favor or against the motion, but given a tie vote on an amendment that is quite important to the bill, and given that we still have some days, I'm wondering if, with the discretion of the chair, we defer action on this bill until the next local government meeting, and at that time, if the opposition and the proponents want to talk, and then they can come back next time and say, look, we were not able to come to an agreement, at least then we know that they were not able to come to an agreement, which is fine, because then we have that knowledge. But if they are able to come to an agreement, then great. So much the better. But we have time. I don't think that we need to push this through at this time.
Well, thank you for placing me in that position. looking out across the crowd of those involved, I see many heads shaking no at this time.
There would have to be a motion, a substitute motion to defer, because you're back to the main motion of due pass.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
Sorry. I do apologize. I warn everyone I was in a grumpy mood when I got hijacked going to this committee. But I make a substitute motion to defer action on Senate Bill 1005.
Second.
Okay. We have a substitute motion by Senator Holeen and seconded by Senator Feagin to delay the bill till the next local government committee meeting, which would be the next Wednesday of next week, on House Bill 1005. Is there any discussion on this motion? Senator Holeen.
Thanks. I just want to stress this action doesn't kill the bill, doesn't say it's not going to pass. It just gives the two sides one more chance to work it out. And I think that's good for the process, and we have the time. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Senator Olson.
I will be opposing this. They've had a year to talk this over, and I don't like the fact that my local property tax folks are picking up the bill for this. So I will be opposing this.
Senator Fagan.
I think if anything, it'd be nice to have the full committee here.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Senator Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would agree with Senator Fagan. It would probably be more appropriate to have Senator Heinert here because we're coming to some close votes right now because our committee size is small, and we certainly wouldn't want to pass motion to fail because of a missing committee member.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, before us we have a substitute motion on House Bill 1005, motion made by Senator Holine, seconded by Senator Fagan, to defer House Bill 1005 to our next stated meeting. All those in favor of the... Pardon me?
Actually, this is final action, so... It is in final action, so it doesn't have to be roll call.
Please let us continue. I will call for a roll call. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call a roll.
Senator Fagan.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Heinert. Excused. Sutton.
Aye.
Holian.
Aye.
Hewing.
No.
2-4.
Okay, the motion did pass. We will take up House Bill 1005 next Wednesday. It'll be first on the agenda at 7:45 a.m. Thank you for your patience, everyone. We'll see you on this bill next Wednesday. Next bill to take up will be House Bill 1087. And I am the prime on that, and I'm going to defer that to Madam Secretary of... Ms. Taylor, if you would like to come forward. It's a very simple bill, and we'll take proponent testimony at this time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. I must apologize. I think I'm the one that hijacked Senator Holine this morning, so I think that whole last bill was my fault.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's state of the task of House Bill 1087.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman. House Bill 1087 is a very simple bill. In 2007, this language was passed, and it requires any local entity to notify the Secretary of the State of their elections, and then requires nothing else to be done with it. And so it's just dropped on the Secretary of State's office. A lot of entities don't even know this law exists. There's no purpose to the information, and so we would just ask that it be repealed. I will tell you that our relationship both between our organizations and the individual local entities is excellent with the Secretary of State's office. Those lines of communication are wide open. We are probably in contact with them at least weekly, and our cities feel very free to call the Secretary of State's office at any time during the election season. And so we would just urge this to be, think this is an unnecessary law, and would urge you to repeal it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1087.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Chantel Krebs, South Dakota Secretary of State. Thank you to Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League for bringing this this bill forth. This actually was a piece of legislation that was passed in 2011. And, of course, if you look at it, it says that they shall, you know, local or political subdivisions shall notify the Secretary of State in writing or telephone for a date and time of conducting a public election. Now, when you look at political subdivisions, that means everything. So we're talking about sanitary districts. We're talking about consumer power districts. We're talking about water districts. That's every political subdivision. And unfortunately, there's a lot of them that haven't been doing this or so. They're in violation of state statute because they're unaware that they had to. So, however, people and these individuals and organizations are reaching out to us and asking us for guidance when they need to, but to let us know and notify us that they should be doing this in state statute is something that we feel is just inappropriate in state statute and want to repeal that language. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll stand by for questions.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1087. Further proponent testimony. Seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony on House Bill 1087? Seeing none, we will close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sutton.
Question of the Secretary of State.
Okay.
Good morning. Can you tell me, and thank you, Mr. Chair, can you tell me what responsibility the Secretary of State's office has in overseeing these elections to make sure they're run correctly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Sutton, for the question and allowing me and granting the latitude to view our and share our role. Our role is to guide, educate, and train our local election officials in through every process and step of the way. So let me explain to you some of the things that we do in our office. As we have our county officials, when they gather, our county auditors go through an extensive 3-day training in the fall and the spring in preparation for upcoming elections. So our role is to make sure that they're very familiar with the law and to guide and work with them. We also have a separate workshop specifically for our school associations and our city municipalities. So we have a school board election training as well as a city election training process that we provide to them. And again, the same thing is walking them through every step of that election and making sure that they feel comfortable and confident with that. We also work with them on a daily basis. If there is an upcoming election, we tell them what date, we back out the date, and we tell them what date that those publications have to be published, what date that they have to have notification to the voters for voter registration. So again, we're communicating and helping them through the process, even for their specific elections, whether it be the sanitary district election, who votes in it, who has to be notified, the publications that has to be processed or published. So our role is, again, to guide, educate, and train and be with them along the process. Mr. Chair, Senator Sutton, I hope I answered your question.
Follow up. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for the answer, and I think that helps clear some things up for me, but maybe a step further in the question of, does your office need to know, or do you always know that these elections are going on? Can you help me through that a little bit?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Sutton, does our office always know? For the most part, we do typically know what's going on out there for elections because of the questions, as Yvonne had indicated, that they're reaching out to us, that city municipal finance officer or that business manager of the school is reaching out, or the county auditor that's overseeing the sanitary district election, they're reaching out to make sure they're following everything in statute. However, do we need to know? Not necessarily, you know, for the fact that it's a local election, and that's what our local election officials are for, and they have done an outstanding job across the state in every election that you all can recall in your own area. So we don't need to know, but we're here to help them if they need us.
Okay, thank you.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to take it one step further as well, what happens if there are complaints on how the election was run or who's the overseeing body that would address those concerns from the public?
Madam Secretary, you answered the question.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good question. So whether it be a petition challenge from the front end from a referral, or whether it be a challenge on how the vote, or if it's a recount, of course, following state statute, but, you know, our role in our office is, again, to guide and walk them through that. But ultimately, we fall back into the hands of the citizen if they want to challenge something. So it would be with that city attorney or that county state's attorney, and we would help that citizen. And we get those phone calls, you know, hey, we feel it should be a recount. We had one last week. What was the percentage of the recount that's required in Redfield? You know, it wasn't close enough, so it wasn't a recount. But the citizens call in, and we tell them this is the process in state law, and then guide them to say, if you're going to pursue something in court, which is most likely the avenue they could challenge any election process on the front end or the back end, we would give them the guidance of where to go to as far as a city attorney or typically state's attorney. So, Mr. Chair, hope
thank
that
you.
Helps.
Further follow-up? Okay. Any further discussion or action on House Bill 1087?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Helene.
I move due pass.
Second.
Okay, we have a do-pass motion from Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Sutton on House Bill 1087. At this time, we will ask for a roll call. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed, say nay. Madam Secretary, please call a roll.
Senator Fagan.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Heinert, excused. Sutton.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we do have a unanimous decision.
Move consent.
Second.
I have a motion from Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Holeen, to place on the consent calendar. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. This will be placed on the consent calendar to the floor. At this time, we will take up consideration of House Bill 1089. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1089? Good morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kyle Shanefish representing District 19. I'm bringing you HB 1089 on behalf of the municipalities. It deals with several funds, enterprise funds such as water and sewer, as well as the capital projects funds. Right now, these funds have arbitrary limits set on them about how much can accumulate in those funds. For example, capital project funds can be used to purchase equipment, purchase land, or make improvements to water and sewer systems or other facilities. Right now, there's no limit on how much can be in the general fund, and the idea of this bill is to make the process more transparent, whereas taxpayers looking at the financial statements and they see a certain amount in a capital project fund, they'll know it's specifically for that fund and can't be used for any other purposes. So I believe this is more a transparent use, and that it would be a good deal for the cities as well as the taxpayers to be able to have those funds where they're intended to. Thank you.
Okay. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1089. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Currently, municipalities have the ability to earmark funds within the general fund, and there is no limit placed on that, and that's probably what most of them are using now. They also have this ability to save up funds within either the capital outlay fund or what we call enterprise funds, which are the water, sewer, things that we actually send bills for. Allowing these separate funds to be used with the locally set caps, and then also putting maybe some teeth in them, because when they're in those special funds, they can't just be moved willy-nilly. It takes a special process to move money in and out of those earmarked funds or those special funds. We think it does provide more transparency and more teeth in what the use of the funding is for. This bill removes the cap on the enterprise funds, water and sewer, and on the municipal capital outlay funds. All of these funds have a cap set right now in statute. It is arbitrary. They're at an amount equivalent to $4 or $10 per $1,000 of taxable value in property. And depending on the size of the city, that one is, the capital outlay funds have an additional cap of $125,000 for cities under 5,000 in population. For the first two sections of the bill, you're dealing with the accumulations in the water and the sewer funds, and there's no logical basis for why those caps are set where they are, and the needs of each city vary depending on what kind of projects they have going on at the time. Similarly, removing the cap on the capital outlay accumulations makes sense because it's arbitrarily set and very low. Capital outlay accounts are those tools where we can save up for a big purchase, such as a large equipment or a snowplow, a dump truck, something like that. The advantage of this is that they are established by resolution, and the funds cannot be moved for another purpose, and thus they are not spent within a five-year period. We think this bill provides more transparency for accumulating the funds, and it provides the insurance that those funds are actually going to be spent on the specific thing that they were saved up for. And so we would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1089. Further proponents. Do we have any opponents for House Bill 1089? Okay, seeing none. We will close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for discussion or action. Senator Holeen.
Just a question for Mrs. Taylor.
Okay.
I think you did a good job on the testimony of explaining the accumulation of the funds. Could you give me an example of a specific example of maybe like a small city and a larger city where this would have helped or where this will be used in the future?
I don't have a specific example like that, but I can tell you that when we looked at the costs of some of our infrastructure improvements, the cheapest you're going to get away with is about $350,000 per block, and that's 400 feet. And so when you look at the small town, it's $125,000 that they're allowed to save. That's not even a third of what you could do one block for. And so I don't have specific examples, but I can give you a general number like that.
Okay. Senator Fagan, you have a question.
This isn't really a question for Yvonne, I know the water and wastewater funds in our city are never enough to actually cover what we're doing. We do have a wastewater treatment facility that we have to build. It's $6 million coming up, and taking caps off like this would help us save money for those kind of things, even though, like I said, they're supposed to be enterprise funds. They're supposed to pay for the water and sewer upkeep, but it's never enough. We always have to take out of our general fund.
Okay. Further discussion or action? House Bill 1089.
Mr. Chair, I'll move do pass.
Second.
Okay. We have a do pass motion from Senator Holine, seconded by Senator Olson. For a due pass on 1089, is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, at this time we will have a roll call on House Bill 1089. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary.
Senator Fagan.
Aye.
Senator Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Heinert excused. Sutton.
Aye.
Holian.
Aye.
Hewing.
Aye. Okay, we do have a unanimous do pass motion on.
Second.
We have a motion from Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Holine, to place on the consent calendar. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. It will be placed on the consent calendar. For consideration up next is House Bill 1092. At this time, we will take proponent testimony. And I saw one of the prime sponsors in here a little while ago. Did he get away on us? Is Senator Hunhoff in the hallway?
We could probably start with the five.
I'll be thinking, know where he's at. We'll just kind of...
We're sending an intern for him, too.
Kind of go into limbo here for just a couple minutes. Okay, we were unable to find the prime sponsor on House Bill 1092, so at this time, is there anyone that traveled here to testify on this bill? Okay, then we're going to go ahead and defer this bill on to next Wednesday's agenda for the respect of the prime sponsors to have the opportunity to come and testify. With that, do we have any further business to come before the committee this morning? Seeing none, we will be working the continuation of House Bill 1005 and Senate Bill 116, as well as a couple reappointments, along with House Bill 1092. At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by... Senator Holine, seconded by Senator Olson, to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.